I recently had the honor and privilege of sitting down with Mr. Don DeVore, a combat soldier in the Vietnam War, whose faith in Christ has been both tried, tested, and triumphed over some of the darkest times in his life. Often when he was asked to share his experience, he told me that for whatever reason, he would just recount his time in the service, nothing prefacing that or after it. No mention of God either, he says. But today, Don feels very strongly about Veterans Matters and veterans advocacy for the sole purpose of being able to reach veterans for Christ. He did mention, however, it won't be easy. Veterans, particularly combat veterans, are not church people. And I said, then again, when was being a disciple of Jesus ever easy? He mentioned that when pastor would ask veterans to stand up, which he usually does around Veterans Day, Memorial Day, maybe 5 or 6 people would stand up. And considering the population, well, let's just say Don found that disheartening. So with the love of Christ in his heart and the Holy Spirit guiding him, Don is now on a mission to bring Christ to veterans. Although he is tired of sharing so-called war stories, he speaks about it now in a way that brings Christ into that story, his story, which he never did before. To know how Don came to this next chapter in his life, we must go back to the beginning. Don was born in Newark, New Jersey. His parents were probably fourth-generation Sussex County people, but they lived in Newark during the time of Don's birth due to his dad's work. When Don was around 11 years old, they moved back to Franklin, New Jersey. Seeing as that he spent his summers there with family and friends, moving to Franklin was like coming back home. Don described those years as living in a Gene Shepherd short story, just a blue-collar mining town. I treasure that. It was good. Don was not brought up in the church, but his friends from high school were regular attendees of a Presbyterian church in Franklin. He attended with them and enjoyed it, but his parents never went. When Don was a sophomore, junior in high school, he attended a Young Life meeting. One weekend, while on the bus ride home from a youth group retreat, Don shared, for whatever reason, well, we know the reason, the Holy Spirit, I got hooked up with our youth leader. I loved talking to this guy. He explained things to me, and I just understood and believed. It wasn't like there was a clap of thunder, lightning strike, but things became clear to me. And in that moment, Don accepted Jesus into his heart as his Lord and Savior. But to Don, that was as far as it went. I probably spent the next, I don't know how many years of my life just moving away from that. That's how Don saw it back then, but I, and I know he does now, sees it and believes it to be what saved him, both physically and spiritually, the day he was injured in combat. Injured is an understatement. To Don, it was more like he was blown up. He spent 2 years in the hospital due to severe bone and tissue damage. The hospital was probably as traumatic and as difficult as being in the field, says Don. Don accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior when he was a teenager. He then got drafted and sent to Vietnam, where in combat he was blown up and he's lying on the ground facing death. But he didn't die. I asked Don, how do you think your story and what you went through points to Jesus and his love for you? Well, you see, Don invited the Lord into his heart well before the war. Sure, he didn't do much with it, as Don puts it, but he sure did believe. Faith is one thing, but belief? That was a game changer for Don. And while lying on the ground wounded, his first word was God. That night, their position was overrun by Vietnam soldiers. His boots were basically blown off his feet. He was thrown up in the air. He came back down, was bleeding like crazy, and he could not do a single thing to help himself. He just laid there. Don said, the first word out of my mouth was God. I recall that, God. The intent was, God, I want to live. I can't die like this. He doesn't know exactly how it happened, but the GIs in his unit got control over the situation, and both the medic and another fellow shot their way over to where he was. At the time, Don's left forearm, for all intents and purposes, was severed from his elbow but still there. They patched him up the best they could, and eventually the medevac helicopter came and whisked him away. He continues, "They were worried I was going into shock, but I never did. I never did. It's funny. An odd kind of calmness came over me at that time. In that helicopter that night, flying back to... I knew I was being flown to some place where I was going to get help. I was pretty convinced at the time I was going to survive." Although he mentioned Vietnam had a very beautiful panoramic view, it was all dark to him until that night in the hospital. The whole recovery thing was such a blur too, but he felt hope. The MASH-type hospital came under a rocket attack, or perhaps the base did where he was. Regardless, Don could hear rockets, missiles, each one getting a bit closer to the hospital. He remembered how angry he was that night. He thought to himself, "I survived in the field, and now I'm in here in a hospital going to get killed by a rocket attack?" But by the grace of God, he did not. And a few weeks later, Don was stable enough to be transferred to a hospital in Japan for further treatment. While in that hospital, there was an earthquake. It wasn't bad. There was no damage or anything, just a tremor. Again, he says, "I'm lying there thinking to myself, man, here I am. Now I'm in Japan, the war's going on, and I'm going to get swallowed up by an earthquake. I laugh about it now." He says, to which I reply, "Another sign of the healing process and the peace that Jesus brings to our lives." Don agrees and adds, "Irony can bring laughter or it can bring anger." He now chooses laughter. Don goes on, "I'd begin to recuperate and fail, and then the skin grafts would fail. Bone grafts would fail. It was just so difficult. The cycle was constant. He would undergo contrast baths due to a fever he had for literally 9 months, then into a tub of ice water, then they'd pour hot water on him. He also laid in a circle motion type electric bed, where in that bed he was rotated over a 24-hour period. You'd go from right side up, upside down, back to the right side. Between all that and an overdose of antibiotics, Don was finally released from the hospital 2 years later after that dark day on the battlefield. He puts it this way, "I was well enough and rehabbed enough to be turned loose. And that's all the Army did, turn you loose. No job, no prospect of a job," which led to anger, avoidance, and in some ways, denial. But what Don did come back to, what we also know to be the hand of God's saving grace, was his beautiful baby daughter. Don was married before the war, became a dad during, and then divorced shortly after his return. His first wife left, leaving him a full-time single parent in Newburgh, New York, and what he says, an apartment, my 2 to 3 year old daughter, a card table, and 2 folding chairs. That was the extent of my belongings. Don's daughter gave him both meaning and purpose those early years after being discharged. So once again, he came back home to Franklin, New Jersey, where his parents, his sister, and her family lived. It was at that point he felt such a sense of relief. He decided it was time to get a job and go to work. Once again, the hand of God blessed Don. For it was at this job that he met his wife, Nan, and together they grew their family and had 5 more children. Although he confessed, "I'm just going to put these past few years in a can somewhere in a locked box and never bother with it," he couldn't do that per se. Don was angry at everybody, including God, and in particular the government. "I was so angry with the government, I could not forgive them. Whoever they were. I really didn't want to be involved in veterans' matters. To Don, it was part of the problem. There were times when the question was raised, 'Are you a veteran?' And I'd actually say no. I didn't even want to discuss it. It wasn't that I was really ashamed of my service or anything. I performed well. But I just didn't want to get into a conversation about it. It was difficult, you know? Even though I didn't suffer the rejection that a lot of other guys did coming back. Thinking back to the war, Don would say to himself, did that really happen to me? Or did I hear that about this happening to somebody else? It was all so confusing to me. And so, he did not talk about what transpired, what he experienced and witnessed in the Vietnam War for a good 15 to 20 years. To Don, he was a husband again, a father, he had a successful career, but when he looks back, he didn't feel whole. Right around that 15 to 20 year mark, two major events took place. The first was when his friend, who was and is a Christian, called him out on having PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, known today as post-traumatic stress injury, or PTSI. Don told his friend, "No, I don't." His friend replied, "Don, you've probably got the worst case of PTSD of any person I know." He says, "In fact, that you manage it the way you do, appear normal to everybody, is what makes it that much worse." And I said, "Come on, I don't have PTSD." And his friend replied, "Yeah, don't believe me? Go home and ask your wife if she thinks you have PTSD." That hit me like a sledgehammer because I did. She told me of certain times and episodes and how difficult it was for her and the children at the time, walking on eggshells, as she described it, around me, just hoping I wouldn't get set off about something. I wasn't violent, never was, but there was always something simmering inside that made me angry. And then really coming here, meaning Christian Faith Fellowship Church, that was the second change or major event in our lives. This church, I swear, you open that front door and walk into the lobby and there's, you know, it's the Holy Spirit, obviously, but it's tactile. You can taste it almost and feel it. It's just, I'd never experienced that in a church before. One more thing Don did not want to gloss over was something his daughter once shared in an interview. According to Don, she said, "Me and my siblings are proud of my father, even though he doesn't talk about it, doesn't want to talk about it, is disgusted with war, and fed up with the whole thing. We've seen the scars, the physical scars, on his body, but I hope he knows how very proud we are of him." That really softened up a lot of things for Don, and to him was another turning point. "Just thinking about that," he says, "makes me just well up with tears. And there it was," says Don, "PTSD. Certain people in your life come along, no accident, no coincidence, only Jesus. Took me a while to learn. Because of Christ, things are revealed to me. Obviously, the Holy Spirit's revealing things to me that should have been obvious, but because of the way I'd shut down, even when I wrote a narrative for the Discovery Channel several years back, I didn't bring Jesus into it. Well, I've grown up a lot since then, and I realize now that that story, narrative, was so incomplete. He now brings Jesus into it because, as Don puts it, that's what's completed him." And so, knowing that, it gave him the courage to join an organization like the VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars. And although he has no specific training, Don was named chaplain for the VFW for Sussex and Warren counties by his fellow veterans. Don is now on a mission to share his story, but not with the war as its focal point, but Christ as the center core of his story. Don said, "Everybody calls me the chaplain, so if I am the chaplain for the VFW, then I'm going to ask them to let me be one in the truest sense. It's interesting," he continues. "I've just been praying about this for the longest time." He's not sure how he's going to approach this, nor to who, but the Holy Spirit has placed on his heart to talk with veterans at the VFW and share about the Lord in his life and how it might relate to them. To explain to them that although sharing their war experience is therapy, that it does help, it gets you to a point. Don wants to share from his own experience, you're never going to really get better, be better, without Christ in your life. It's kind of as simple as that. That's what picks you up at that point. And not bringing us to the finish line because I don't know when it's coming, but it sure does point you in the right direction. and you can share these things, and you know you've made it now. You're treating your wife and your family better. You know that this, meaning Jesus, is the real thing. And that's really kind of the bottom line to my whole thing here. A life in Christ is a joyous thing. It's celebrating. It's about smiles and laughter and being grateful. Don continues, there's a difference between believing and knowing. And I have to say to myself, do I believe this? In the Bible, Pastor says it's so. But do I know? Am I convinced? Do I know it beyond the shadow of a doubt? And I do. I know. And that's a joyous thing. That should lift your spirit. That you know that this is such good news. And I know that because of what I've experienced, that letting other veterans know, I gotta reach somebody out there. Don's next chapter, his goal of where he wants to take the title chaplain, leads us into the question, how does Don feel his story fits into the greater story of the gospel? And the answer is clear and beautiful. It's to spread the word of God and his unconditional love and grace. And according to Don, it's about time. I know that. I procrastinated a lot. I've even been mad at God. But he opened the door here, you know. The door's always been open. But I was just, well, if I can't do it this way, I don't want to do it that way. Don't know how they're going to accept it. I might be forbidden to close a prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and only in God's name. But Don is more than ready now. Why? Because he has surrendered the process to the Lord and is doing it God's way, not his own. So to wrap up a testimony that I am in awe of, Don ends our conversation with a laugh, saying, now if you can put any of this mishmash that I've spewed over the last hour or so, God bless you. He is all about embracing laughter. Why? Again, because of Jesus and the peace in having a personal and intimate relationship with him. Don, we say to you, this is not the end, but just the beginning. Thank you for your service, sincerely. I can't begin to know what your journey was like. One could watch the news, watch documentaries, hear veterans recount their war experience. But watching it, hearing it, and experiencing it, well, that's two completely different things. And although thank you are two short words, I'm humbly grateful for the sacrifices you have made and continue to make to serve and protect our United States of America and its veterans. God is with you, Don. Always has been, always will be. And who better to be a chaplain to veterans than you? Someone who's walked the walk, and by faith, not by sight. God is good. God bless you, Don.